Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this special episode of Hooked on Sport. I'm Ben Hook. With me is Sophie Hilditch. Sophie, you have done an incredible body of work. You've spent large parts of your day at the Major League Sixes lacrosse tournament that has been held at the Martin Sports Centre. Firstly, congratulations on everything you've done. You must be exhausted with the amount of interviews that you carried out.
There were so many amazing people at this event. It was hard to not go around interviewing everyone. So I had a fantastic time. I can't say I'm a bit tired, but it was so much fun. It's worth being tired for.
I'm interested in your first thoughts on the sport. You haven't seen a lot of tennis-side lacrosse. I imagine you've seen a lot less six-a-side lacrosse. I'm sure there are some obvious reactions that you have. It's fast-paced, it's quick, it's moving all the time. But what did you make of it as a sport, someone who's watched a hell of a lot of sport in your time?
Well, you're dead right. This was the first time I've actually ever seen the Sixes in action and live. And Ben, it's so fast-paced. It was ridiculous. I couldn't keep up with the scoring. It was just so fast. It was amazing. The physicality of the players is just incredible. They're so strong. They're so quick. I was just so impressed. I really haven't seen athletes perform like this before.
My first day at a lacrosse match was a tennis-side grand final in about 2017. And I was walking during the pre-match warm-ups and I was walking with the officials because I was trying to give them a bit of an explanation of how everything was going to work. They had broadcast, they had a grand final set up with the Australian National Anthem and all of those sorts of things. Very, very foreign in local lacrosse. And these guys, I was walking backwards so I could talk to them as they were doing their lap of the field. They said, "What are you doing, you idiot?" I'm going, "What are you talking about?" And then I looked around and these young guys, this is the men's grand final, they're wanging balls in my direction at about 150 kilometres an hour and they're hard balls, Soph, I tell you what. So, yeah, they were very, very kind to me to tell me, yeah, happy to talk, but make sure you're looking at exactly where everything's coming from, because if you get in the way of one of them, you are going to be down for the count of about 30 and may not get up after that.
I saw how fast those balls were going and I stayed well and truly behind all the nets that they had set up for the spectators.
Let's just go through the incredible array of people that you've spoken to. It was like you spoke to, you know, the 12 apostles. It was absolutely the top end of Australian lacrosse. The first person you spoke to was Tony Watts, and Tony was a great person to choose to speak to first up. I thought he has provided a wonderful, I guess, explanation of the evolution of the six-a-side game from the tennis-side game. Tony is the lead commentator here in Australia. I expect that he'll be commentating at the Olympics, Los Angeles, in 2028 for the host broadcaster. He's got a couple of kids who play. Both his son and his daughter are goalkeepers in their respective teams and very, very talented. He could have two kids playing at the Olympics while he's there commentating. Wouldn't that be something very special? He gave some great insight into the history and the development of six-a-side. This is what Tony Watts had to say now.
I'm here with Tony Watts. He's commentating the events. Tony, how are you going?
I'm amazing. It's the weather's turned out perfectly at the moment, 24 degrees, a little bit of overcast, so the players in helmets and the girls running around won't be like it will last year when it was 40 degrees on the first couple of days.
Tony, could you explain to our listeners a bit about the Sixes game? We're obviously looking out on the field, like you said, beautiful weather. Tell us a bit about it.
All right, so it's the Olympic version of the game. It's a shortened form of the game. So normally in field lacrosse, you'll have 10 players. With this form of the game, there's only six on the field. So one goalie, five short stick attackers, effectively. And in the 10v10 game, there's long stick defenders out there. Major differences are that it's, instead of 15-minute quarters, they're 8-minute quarters. So the game is very fast-paced. If you miss a shot on the cage, normally in a field game, the player closest to the ball would get it, but if it doesn't hit the cage, it turns over. So unless you shoot really well, you're running back into defence.
And Tony, we've got a big screen in the middle of the pitch. What's that for?
That's not for my picture. That's actually for game footage throughout the game, and we're going to we've got the fields at the moment running east-west. The two night games this evening, we're going to turn around and we're going to go south-north, and that just creates a bit more of a spectacle with the VIP box up behind us, which I didn't get an invite to, just quietly, but I'll be in the box next to it, so I'm close enough to where I need to be, but it just adds a little bit more. Think bigger, be bigger.
Exactly. Now, Tony, someone mentioned it. You mentioned it was fast-paced. What is this shot clock I've been hearing about?
All right, so there's a shot clock in this game, which we haven't traditionally had. It's actually coming into the men's and women's 10v10 game. But at the moment, there's a shot clock from the shot going into the cage. They've basically 40 seconds. It's 10 seconds to clear it over the halfway line. And you've got a 30 seconds to have a shot on the cage. The only way you will get that shot clock reset is if, number one, you hit the bar or the keeper touches it. That's the only two touches that will reset a shot clock. Other than that, you've got 30 seconds to get in and do some really fast offense.
30 seconds, not a lot. Tony, you're a commentator today, but you do more than that. Tell us a bit about your background.
Yeah, look, I came to lacrosse. I came from an AFL background because my mate said, come and play lacrosse, you'll drink six beers and retire from the wilderness at 30. And I played over 200 state league games from there, and it's given me so much, this game. It is called the medicine game by the traditional Haudenosaunee Nationals, who created it in the US. But it has. It's given so much to me, and it continues to give so much to me. I'm lucky enough I get to sit in the best spot in the house and watch this game, but I also have both of my kids playing in two sides this week as well.
Absolutely incredible. Tony, you're a coach as well, so who should we be looking out for in this ML Sixes this weekend?
Look, I'll talk about the men's side, but initially, I think there's 65 players out there who got picked from a pool of 130, and there's guys that are not playing in this competition that should be out there. You look at the goalies at the moment. Sean Aaron, he is the current Australian goalkeeper, last two-time Sharks keeper. He is going to be a brick wall in there. As I said, my son is there. You got Jay Bidwell Barton, so the cage, but it's the shorties and, you know, the Cal Gibsons who won the Isaacson medal for the best player in the country last year. You've got Mitch Baker. The men's and women's sides are full of Australian representatives at the moment. And on the women's side, I mean, there was a love-hate relationship, and they do love each other because they're both Australian women. But Ashton Hiren and Olivia Parker last year, there was red cards being handed out and got thrown off the field. And I think Ashton got two in a row. The most beautiful person and people that you could ever meet off the field. But I tell you what, when they cross that white or black line, they are not to be messed with.
Game on. Tony, thank you so much for your time today.
It's perfect to be here. I'm glad you can come down. And, hey, get on and listen to the podcast, because why wouldn't you?
So that's Tony Watts, the lead commentator for lacrosse in Australia. And Adelaide boys done incredible things in local lacrosse, and now could be going on to commentating at the Los Angeles Olympics. Did you get a sense of how the sport's played from Tone?
We hit the jackpot interviewing Tony first. Like I said, first time seeing sixes, and it is a completely evolving game. So even Tony just giving you the history, so I could have an understanding of where this game came from, but where it's going, it was just incredible.
Yeah, he is so worth listening to as a commentator, because he's not only very accurate, but he brings a sense of flair, a sense of style, some humour that he throws in. He's got some wonderful turns of phrase. I find when I watch the women's game that it's relatively easy to pick player from player because they don't wear helmets. They just have those eye goggles. But the men wearing helmets, I find almost impossible to pick apart. But Tony's ability to work out who that player is, just almost from like their body shape, is absolutely something else. So looking forward to seeing how Tony's own career develops as someone who's just been calling the community game, sort of fell into it a little bit, and now, possibly going to be calling at the elite level. That's something pretty incredible. The next person you spoke to was Abby Burgess Bryce. Abby's had an incredible career in lacrosse on her own. She is now the president of Lacrosse Australia. Not only the president, but also playing in this tournament for the Sydney Seahawks. You spoke to her a little bit earlier on Thursday. This is what she had to say.
We're here with Abby. She's just come off her game against the Adelaide Red Bellies, a grand final rematch. How was it out there? It looked exciting and it looked pretty fiery.
It was definitely a fast and furious game today. I think from a Sydney Seahawks perspective, we can take a lot of positives out of our first hit out up there and make some tweaks, make some adjustments. And I think we'll come back for our second game this evening a lot stronger and really finishing those opportunities that we were able to create today.
So when is your next game? How much time have you got to prepare for it?
So we've got a couple of hours now downtime to recover. We're back out here this evening at 7:30 for our next hit up.
And that's so exciting, the night game. So we can expect some spectators coming out after work. How do you reckon the vibes in the stadium's going to be at night?
The Lacrosse Australia team has done an incredible job of bringing everything together here from an events perspective. The night games are really going to be a wonderful opportunity for the community to come along, really get behind it. I think we're going to see a real carnival-like atmosphere tonight, hopefully with a lot of folks filling the stands and enjoying the atmosphere here.
And there seems to be a lot of kids out there as well.
Most definitely. We did some pre-work yesterday with some Quick Sticks activations at a range of primary schools and high schools around the Adelaide area. And through that, we're hoping to get a lot of young supporters along, checking out Olympic Sixes here over the next few days.
And 2028 Olympics coming up. You spoke about it on the pod earlier this week about all the infrastructure that is getting put in place. And we've been lucky enough to speak to a lot of those people involved in that. But how is that going? It looks incredible.
Yeah, most definitely. We're seeing a lot of folks attending today, and they will be attending over the next few days from a range of positions across the Lacrosse Australia network, all within the high performance space. But what that really reflects for us is that step change in elite level environment and expertise that we're bringing in to further elevate our high performance program as we strive towards LA 28.
And how proud are you of Lacrosse Australia and what they've achieved so far? And look, I think it's only going to get better as it comes to the Saturday night grand final.
There has been a lot of energy, sweat, I'm sure some tears, a few sacrifices going into really bringing this whole event together. And I am immensely proud of the team behind the MLS event. And again, we're really seeing our entire group rally to further elevate lacrosse in Australia, elevate the high performance program, demonstrate that we have the growth and participation pathways there. And what you're really witnessing is a maturing of the sport to come in line with our fellow Olympic sports.
Thank you so much for your time, Abby.
Thank you.
So for someone who's relatively young in the chair as the president of Lacrosse Australia, she can articulate a wonderful message, Abby.
It was amazing, and I got a, like you can tell, straight off the field, and she'd actually just had a loss, so I'm sure she was absolutely fuming. So I was very impressed with how she articulated herself and actually just how she was still so happy to be there and looking forward to what was coming up next.
Yeah, she's a late draftee to the Seahawks. I actually saw a highlight of her scoring a goal. She still moves exceptionally well. I wonder if she might consider reversing her retirement, if you like. So if she could be president and playing for Australia in a couple of years' time, that would be something else. The next person you spoke to, Katrina Dowd, the coach of the Australian team. You'll pick up the accent here, suggest that she's not Dinky Dye born and bred Australian, but she's certainly one of us now. This is Katrina Dowd with Sophie Hilditch.
We're here with Katrina, head coach for Australia Lacrosse. Katrina, what are you here looking out for at the Sixes, the MLS?
Yeah, this is a premier event in Australia for the Sixes discipline. I think it's an unbelievable event. You know, I think to have all these athletes here in Adelaide competing for these 3 days is an awesome opportunity to meet, to see, you know, a whole bunch of different players, see some of our, you know, our current players who are in the pool and just compete at this high level.
Yeah, we've got so many incredible players here and they're all playing and mingling with each other in different teams. What players should we be looking out for?
I mean, I think there's a whole slew of players. You know, I'm excited. The Sixes version of lacrosse is an up-and-coming, growing version of it. So this, to me, just to have the commitment from Lacrosse Australia, from the community, to put this event on. I'm also so intrigued with the drafting system, you know, that they're drafted onto a team. They're competing with athletes from all over Australia, not just from their home states, I think is, for me, such an opportunity because when you make it onto Lacrosse Australia, we have players from all over. So I get to see them in that environment right now. I see Liv Parker walking off the pitch right now, who's a great midfielder who's competed in the World Games for us and over in Canada. A lot of up-and-coming young players. Our captain, Ashton Huron, is here. So I think there are tons and tons of players, and the talent is through the roof.
And obviously we're preparing for the Olympics in 2028. How has that preparation looked? This game just keeps on evolving.
Yeah, I think it's been It's been awesome. We headed to the World Games in Chengdu, China this past summer. We won the bronze medal there with a squad of 12. And then we headed over to Canada this fall and have won a silver medal. So I think the players are adapting well to this style of lacrosse. I think they're enjoying just the opportunity they get to travel across the world, play elite level competition, and really come together as a team and as a, you know, an Olympic program. I think LA 28 is, it's the dream. It's something lacrosse players have only dreamed about. We haven't had the opportunity to ever, you know, before they announced this, to ever say, I want to be an Olympic athlete in lacrosse. So this generation and this opportunity for these players to, for the first time ever, you know, dream of being an Olympian, dream of bringing home a medal to Australia, I think you can see the dedication, the hard work, and just the love of the game and the love of Australia anytime they get a chance to put the jersey on.
And that's what I was going to say, though. Australia, we're not just looking at competing at the Olympics. We are looking at medaling at the Olympics, aren't we?
Yeah. We want to, you know, we are training to win gold. We're training to be the best lacrosse team we can possibly be. That's why all these opportunities to play the Sixes format, to learn more about the game, compete at a high level, they're pushing us closer to our goals.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
So that's Katrina Dowd, the head coach of the women's Sixes team for Australia. She'll be taking the group off to Los Angeles. I don't know if you got the impression, Soph. I've heard that she is very, very intense when it comes to coaching. Did you get that impression when you were chatting to her?
Yeah, she was intense, but you know what? She gave us some brilliant nuggets there. She wasn't quite willing to tell us what players she was looking out for because, to be honest, Ben, I don't blame her. There's so many players out there to look out for. It would be hard to nail it down.
Courtney Hobbs is a good friend of mine. She's been an Australian player before. She played in the Australian team definitely in 2005. She's now a board member with Lacrosse Australia. Her and her family actually invented the Wilderness Lacrosse Club, got her roots at the Glenelg Lacrosse Club, star player, now a star board member. She's been heavily involved in putting this program together. This is Sophie's Chat with Courtney Hobbs.
We're here with Courtney at the MLS. Courtney, what's your role here?
I'm a board member for Lacrosse Australia and I'm an event coordinator.
And we're into the third game. Just how well is it going? It's looking so much fun out there.
It's going really well. It's a very exciting game so far. I believe the Macos won by one goal and the Red Bellies just beat the Sydney Seahawks women in a very tight match also.
And the environment is just incredible out here. The spectatorship is brilliant. What are your thoughts on that? Are you so pleased with how it's gone so far?
Yes, so far so good. I mean, the crowd is definitely building. I think there's a few kids that have taken a day off school and have come out here. But yeah, the crowd is building. I'm getting really excellent vibes from everyone and everyone's really positive about how it all looks and how it all feels.
Done an incredible job. So thank you so much for speaking and looking after Hooked On Sport.
So if I'm sure that everyone you felt you had a conversation with is highly passionate about the game, I'd be surprised if there's anyone more passionate than Hobbsy.
There definitely isn't. She was actually the first person that we really got to speak to from Lacrosse Australia before we chucked her on the mic. And my gosh, was she just so passionate, so excited, but also just doing an incredible job. She was getting pulled every which way in that with people asking her questions. And you know what? She was absolutely rolling with it and loving every moment.
Courtney Hobb, I'm claiming, is a friend of mine. Simon Kane, who is one of the lead officials at the South Australian Sports Institute, I know he was out there yesterday alongside Ben Bishop from Lacrosse Australia, who was overseeing high performance. So this is a new space for lacrosse. And Olivia Parker, who we'll get to very shortly, is the prime example of an athlete who's been a star in this community sport, and suddenly it's taken on this whole new level of professionalism. It's guys like Simon Kane and Ben Bishop who are driving it. Must have been impressed with the way they are looking to really develop and lift the game into this new stratosphere in a very, very short period of time, Soph.
Extremely short period of time. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear this interview. Like I said at the start of the show, I was so impressed by the lacrosse players. And do you know what? It was interesting to hear them say exactly the same thing and how easily the lacrosse players are adapting into becoming elite athletes.
I'm here with Simon and Ben. Simon is from Sassy and Ben is from La Crosse, Australia. Simon, Sassy has just become a part of La Crosse. How is it going?
Yeah, it's going really well. It's still early days. We've just partnered with them in 2025, earlier this year. So which is, we've supported a couple of national camps, national sixes camps, and we've also started the Sassy La Crosse program, supporting those South Australian athletes based in Adelaide on a weekly basis.
Unbelievable. And do you do a little bit of work with the Adelaide Red Bellies, or is it just the South Australian lacrosse players?
Yeah, all the South Australian lacrosse players. Yeah, we don't specialise in the one team. So yeah, if they're identified in a national program, men's or women's, then they form part of the Sassy program. So they come in and do on-pitch sessions and also access the facilities at Sassy at Mile End.
And Ben, what is your role at Australia Lacrosse?
So I've just stepped into the head of high performance role. Sam McPherson, I should say, has just stepped out on maternity leave for a period of time. So yeah, I was thrilled to be asked to step in and help out with the sport. Super exciting time for the sport on the road to LA. So yeah, I'm really, really excited to be a part of it if only for a short period of time.
And what are you looking out for here today from the players?
Lacrosse is not my expertise. I'll leave that to the coaches of lacrosse. But what I will be doing is working with the coaches to set a bit of a plan for what the sport might be looking to do over the next period of time, especially over the next 12 months as we really accelerate the growth of our programs. But then some longer term vision stuff as we head towards LA, you know, really trying to set the programs up for success. We want a medal in LA. We want to bring home medals. Let's see what colours they might be, but we certainly want to come home with some extra baggage out of LA.
What has impressed you most about these players?
Look, I guess the thing that stands out initially is their attitude. They're right up for it. They've accepted every challenge that we've put to them in their strength and conditioning focus initially. They're really leading the way across most of our programs at Sassy. A lot of them are fit and strong. They're also holding jobs as well, so they're time poor at times. But look, the effort and the attitude the athletes have put in from day one has been brilliant.
Thank you so much, guys.
Nat Burton is another one of the people involved in La Crosse Australia now who are really dealing with the high end, the high performance level. She's a mindset and well-being coach. Her background is basketball, I think, Soph. Let's have a listen to what Nat had to say, and I'd love your reaction to it.
We're here with Nat. She works in the space of mindset and well-being. She's actually recently just travelled with the Sixers. Can you just tell us a bit about that experience?
Yeah, so I went over with the teams to their US and Canada tour, and I was there to offer them the services of a mindset coach. So to help them, the athletes, with things like how they were preparing for games, how they were dealing with the new professional environment that Sixers is entering into, to help the coaches create culture and run programs that really upskill the athletes, but also themselves, and just to be that go-between between the players and the coaches, and make the easiest thing possible for them to be what they do on the field.
And do you come from a background of lacrosse?
Not in the slightest. I come from a basketball background, so it was a lot of learning for me, but fascinating sport, and I'm hooked already. That's why I'm here, is because I love the sport, and I think that it's amazing that they're preparing to make it to the next level, to go to LA and beyond that.
And what kind of mindset do you think they need with this fast-paced game?
You need to be able to move on from things really quickly. So that's why it's really similar to basketball, is you're going to make mistakes, but what you do after that is really important. So just, I was really helping the athletes, having a quick reset, that short-term mentality, next action mentality, it all applies. And also just helping the athletes with understanding what it is to be a professional athlete now, and how you deal with selection pressure, how you deal with this, you know, as you're moving towards LA, all the things that come up with that of being an athlete, helping them navigate that and giving them tools to do that.
That was Nat Burton there, who oversees mindset and well-being for the Australian lacrosse players. So if you've only very recently been involved in high-performance sport, how important is it, issues like mindset, well-being, and those making sure that you're in a good space mentally?
Oh, it's incredibly important. I've done a lot of work, particularly when it came to golf. It's a completely different mindset to what the Sixers is. Golf, I've got the opposite problem. I have too much time to think about my issues. In the Sixers, like she said, you've got to move on pretty quickly and forget about it straight away. So really interesting to hear her talk. And do you know what I was even more impressed about is she doesn't come from a lacrosse background at all. The lacrosse players are really trying to use all these different other athletes from other sports who have gone and competed in the Olympics before.
Not only are they taking athletes from other sports, we're getting people in from other countries. So if I thought it was fascinating that we're bringing in officials from other countries to get their develop their own experience with Australian Sixers lacrosse. And I guess using the opportunity for our Australian officials to learn from these guys. Lara Owen is one of those officials who comes to Adelaide and has been officiating this Major League Sixers series from London. She has come from. This is what she had to say now.
I'm here with Lara. She's just come off the field from officiating the first game of the MLS. How was it out there?
Yeah, it was a really fast, well-contested first game. Really good to get the cobwebs out for the, you know, the players, but for the officials as well. You know, some of us haven't been on the field doing sixes for a few weeks, few months, and it's great to come together.
I saw a few cards out there. So what are you actually looking out for when you're officiating the sixes?
So, the rule book for sixes is been designed for a fast-flowing, fun, exciting game, you know, the end-to-end with the goalie taking the ball straight out. But we still have to keep that safety element. So a lot of the ones we were calling today were green cards. So there's green, yellow, and red would be an expulsion. So the most things I called today were for holds. So the defenders are trying to come underneath the player's arms and lift their bottom elbow. And I think I called four of those, like maybe in the first half. But the good thing is the players responded to that, and I don't think I called another one in the second half, so they knew what they were doing wrong and then they adjusted, so that was good.
And is it very different because it's so fast-paced having to officiate the sixes?
It is really different. Like, sixes is the version of lacrosse I do the most, so I've got used to it over the last like four or five years. But it's quicker, it's quick decision making. But the good thing is, compared to the women's field, it's not always lots of whistles, because we have the way we can execute the penalties is with a delayed whistle, a slow whistle. So we put our arm in the air and the attack still get to use the rest of their shot clock before we actually stop the game to administer the penalty.
And how many officials do we have on the Sixers, and what are their roles?
So on the field, you have three officials. There's a lead and two others. So the lead officials' roles are to conduct the pre-game talks with the coaches, do the toss with the captains. They start on the single side, so the side of the pitch where there's only one official. Everyone has different roles throughout the game, depending on where the ball is and what you're supposed to be looking at. So there'll be one or two officials on ball, one or two officials off ball, and that is all dependent on whether it's settled play, transition play, and that kind of thing. And the lead is always responsible for calling the goals. Very important. We want to keep track of those goals. That is one of the hardest things in sixes because it is that quick. Normally in the other codes, you have time, the clock is stopped, or in you going back to a draw or a face-off. In this, the goalie, like I said before, the goalie picks it up and goes the other way. So we need to make sure our reserve official, so we have a fourth official in the bench, they are helping to keep score and help work with the official scorekeeper to make sure we get all those goals.
And the other thing we notice is there's a lot of changeover of players. How hard is it managing that?
Yeah, that's a really difficult thing to manage. You just have to keep, you know, you need multiple eyes, you need extra eyes, but it is a sort of handoff as you're transitioning down the field. One of the officials will be looking for a while until they transition past, and then the new trail will be coming in and watching that. So we, you know, on the field, we know who's supposed to be looking at it. It is a difficult thing because it might be that there's some other contested play right in front of you at the same time, but we just do the best we can and get as many of the infractions as we can.
And how about training? Do you have to train differently for the Sixers?
Not differently. So the World Lacrosse have created a fitness protocol that if you're trying to achieve an international rating, all officials across all the, so across field, box and Sixers have to achieve the same levels whether you want to get a world different level of world rating. So it isn't actually different in Sixers. The toll on the body is different, but in terms of what we're trying to achieve when we're being rated, we have the same sort of fitness protocols across them all.
And I've noticed you've got an English accent. Whereabouts are you from?
So I'm from London in England. We have been invited over by Lacrosse Australia. So two officials from Europe were selected. So one from England, one from Germany. And we both already have our international rating. So part of opening it up was to help come and, you know, help advise all the domestic officials who are trying to get their world rating at this tournament. So bring in a little bit of experience and from people who've been to tournaments elsewhere. So I've been to quite a few sixes tournaments across the world and just trying to help spread the knowledge and make sure we can get as many officials rated as we can.
Yeah, lacrosse is a growing game. It's obviously going to the Olympics for the first time in 2028. So how is the process of getting the officials ready for the Olympics?
Yeah, that's a really exciting thing for the officials as well as the players and the coaches and everything like that. So there's lots of people that would love that privilege. I think for the officials, it's even harder. There's a smaller group of us, a group of people that will end up being selected and going. But we are currently, World Lacrosse are currently in the process of defining that selection process. So between now and then in 2026, there will be all the continental qualifiers. So APLU are hosting theirs next October. The Europeans are hosting it. We are hosting it in November. And we're just waiting for confirmation of when PALA are going to run theirs, which all are the qualifiers for the World Championships in 2027. Which will then be a selection event for the Olympics in 2028. So similar to how all the teams will have to qualify and get through, the officials will also be going through that process as well.
Yeah, how are you finding your time in Australia, particularly the flies? You've been swatting them off the whole time.
I was told they were bad in Perth. I've been in Perth for a few days, but I'm still getting them here as well. So it's a funny because our English version of this, we've had a version of a sixes kind of drafted tournament called The Fly in England for the last few years. And the first year we were all given lovely luminous tops, which did attract all the actual flies as well. So I'm used to it as well. So
brilliant. Have you got any other plans in Australia whilst you're here?
I did my sort of holiday and fun before in Perth. So heading back home on Sunday after the tournament.
Thank you so much.
So if that was a wonderful chat, isn't that amazing that, you know, you think about here in Australia as well, there could be a 17, 18-year-old who maybe isn't going to make it as a player in lacrosse, but if they turn their attention to officialdom, umpiring, being a referee, who knows, maybe we could see someone like that going to an Olympic Games in the near future. So it just opens so many different career paths, doesn't it?
100%. There's so many different things you've got to think about. And speaking to Lara, I probably hadn't turned my head to how much training the officials had to do themselves. It was a really intriguing chat. I loved every moment. And I'm happy she didn't get too distracted by the flies. I don't know if she was probably her least favourite thing about Australia, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's three different formats of the sport. They're all officiated very differently. So to be across all of them is quite the challenge, I'm sure. You mentioned Olivia Parker at the top of the show, great friend of this podcast. She's been on an episode only a week ago with Abby Burgess-Bryce. You did catch up with her just after their first game where I think they'd gone down to the Adelaide Red Bellies by a goal. This is Sophie Hilditch with Olivia Parker now.
We're here with Olivia Parker, massive friend of the pod. She spoke beautifully earlier on this week. She's just come off her first game and it was an Adelaide Red Bellies and Seahawks rematch. How was it out there?
Thank you for having me on the podcast, firstly. It was great fun out there. It's electric. It is just an absolute vibe to be here. Playing against, you know, your own teammates here in South Australia, but also playing with a whole new group. I'm so proud of the girls. We came down by one goal and, like, it couldn't have been more of a high energy, high fast paced game. Couldn't be more proud of those girls.
And how exciting is it out there? I mean, the spectatorship is only building. The music is great. How are the vibes?
The vibes are amazing. Honestly, it's just amazing to have it here in Adelaide on home turf and just to have everyone, all the supporters out here. And yeah, it's been amazing and it's only going to get better. We've got massive night games coming up, so it's going to be a really good time.
I was about to say, the grand final on a Saturday night, how would be the celebrations if you can get there?
I just got goosebumps when you said that. That would be great. Actually, unfortunately, we've got Australian field camp. So we've got our Aussie field camp Sunday morning and Monday morning. So it never stops, unfortunately, when you're in the national squad. So no partying, unfortunately.
I was about to say, it's hard being a national player, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty tricky. But yeah, you got to lock in and you want to do your country proud. So you do anything. All those little sacrifices are so important. So you do anything to play for your country.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
Thank you.
Just a pro in every sense of the word, isn't she, Soph? Olivia Parker is doing special things and she'll continue to do so.
Oh, she definitely will. I even like the fact that she actually took the mic from me, Ben. She was ready just to run away with it.
That is a unique trait of hers. She is determined to hold the microphone when she speaks it. She is in charge, Olivia Parker. And, no different there with the way she ripped that microphone out of your hands to make sure that she was absolutely in charge of everything going on. Just to wrap things up, you caught up with a couple of young lads who are playing in the men's competition. Their names are Daniel and Liam. This is their thoughts on Sixers lacrosse.
I'm here with Daniel and Liam. Daniel plays for the Brisbane Celtics and Liam is with the Sydney Seahawks. Daniel, how exciting is the Sixers format?
I feel it's much more exciting than the normal field game for the spectators especially, because it's just constant back and forth. The spectators just get to watch a whole lot of lacrosse rather than stopping starting after every goal. So I really like it.
Liam, can we expect a bit of physicality from these players in the Sixers format?
Absolutely. I think especially in this competition and tournament, all teams are very even and, you know, we're really fighting hard for that one goal. So everything will be on the line.
And training, do you have to train a bit different for this? I'm like, all I'm watching is it's so fast paced.
Yeah, so there's no long poles in it for the men's game anymore. So it's harder for them to make the team. But yeah, they give it a good go. And then, yeah, it's just a fast paced game. So everyone just enjoys it.
Liam, now last question for you. Who is your prediction to take out the men's and the women's?
Well, I'm looking over at the other field and I see the women's Seahawks team warming up sharp, so they can take it for the women's. And the men's Seahawks team is undoubtedly the strongest, so they'll probably win that as well.
Not at all biased. I'm assuming Daniel has something else to say about this.
Me personally, I think the Salties will win for the men and women, and it'll just show today when we beat the Seahawks tonight.
Thanks so much, guys.
And just because we're an equal opportunity podcast, Sophie, you also caught up with a couple of the young women playing in this competition. They're Victorians, Holly and Chelsea. This is what they had to say.
I'm here with Holly and Chelsea. They have literally just come off the field from playing the first game at the MLS. Whereabouts are you guys from?
We're both from Victoria.
And how was it out there? It looked so much fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really exciting, high energy and, yeah, really intense. It was good.
And Chels, what do you find exciting about the Sixers?
I love playing with all my friends and I love how it's just a random team that you go into and you just kind of have to figure it out on the day.
And you're the goalkeeper. How is that? I've seen some of the bruises coming out. I've seen you're in trackies. Is that just the limited protection you have?
Yeah, just about. It's a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoy my position and obviously I don't have to run as much as the other girls, so that's good. But yeah, it's really good. It's really nice to be like the support from the back line. And
what's your prediction? Who do you reckon's going to win the men's and who's going to win the women's? You're allowed to be biased with this question.
Manta Rays for the women's.
And Manta Rays for the men's. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So this is going to be around on Saturday morning and I can only encourage you, if you've got a bit of a loose end on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening, get yourself out to the Marden Sports Centre. It's very, very cheap entry. You're going to see an amazing spectacle, something that you can really come along for the ride with, Soph, and that's how I feel with lacrosse a little bit. I mean, I've been sort of loosely involved in the sport for so many years now, and just to see this tidal wave of excitement and emotion that heads towards Los Angeles. And I would encourage all of our listeners just to maybe dip their toe in the water as well and have a look at this, because it really is something quite special what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah, Hooky, it's so special. Like I keep on saying, the community is just unbelievable. But also for our listeners who might not actually have seen this format before, like we said, it's evolving. So a lot of those members of the community that have come from everywhere, all over Australia, for some of them it's also their first time watching Sixers, so they're all learning together and it's a beautiful environment to go out and watch.
I hope to have a recap of MLS with Olivia Parker and Ashton Heron that will get out middle of the week. I certainly hope, maybe a little bit earlier than that. So looking forward to their thoughts on where they see this format of the sport. If you're a regular listener to Hooked on Sport, I can promise you that the golf episode will be recorded on Monday night. We hope to have that out on Tuesday. That's going to always be fun. It's always great to lock horns with Sophie on a sport that she just knows so well and is so passionate about. But Soph, well done, mate. It's a fantastic job you've done. It's a wonderful asset for the lacrosse people. It's a wonderful asset for us. And I hope people really enjoy what you've been able to put together and share with them and just spread the message about Olympic lacrosse, because it's going to be something that we will watch with a lot of interest in the next 2.5 years.
Absolutely, Hookie. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, everyone.